So there are some times that we need a reset, right? A reset in our lives where things have been going a certain way. We have all seen errors on our computer screen. How many of you are like, when you see your error, like you see something like this one, this first one, we're sorry, something went wrong, we're working on the problem, please try. How many of you have seen this thing all the time, way too many times? Like, it's just, this is going to bring back some triggering things for some of us. So don't go smashing things or anything this morning. We'd appreciate that. Or maybe this one, maybe this next one that you've seen, downloading, estimated time left forever. How many of y'all have seen that one? You're like, oh my gosh, the estimated time. I thought this was like 2021 or 2022, amen. And I thought downloads were supposed to be a lot faster. But sometimes it's not quite it. Or this one. I can't continue to play back if you're watching a movie. This has been fantastic in the middle of a movie because the connection with your server was lost. How many of y'all have seen that one? Like in the middle of like the movie's all about to happen, and then all of a sudden it just goes, nope, we're just kidding. Just kidding about the end. We're not going to do that. So those are some ideas. So many different ways that we need. So you always, what do? You like turn off your TV, maybe turn it back on, maybe reconnect your TV with the internet, or maybe you restart and you're like, in the middle of this download, is this going to totally like mess up the whole time? You know, you always think like in the middle of can I reset during a download? Like, but all these things, like sometimes we just need, things aren't working like they should be working, right? Something went wrong, right? And things aren't working like we need. And sometimes you just need the big reset button to hit and restart everything. Amen? Amen. And so I want to talk about that this morning, about this idea of reset. So it's 2022, and a new year always comes with great expectations, right? We did last week, we reflected on our past year. Right, we talked about not everything that happened in 2021 was bad. Praise God. Wow, really? Amazing. If you're watching online, we just hear a siren go by. That was just incredible timing. But this year, like, so we reflected. Not everything last year was like a siren. Some things were really good last year. A lot of good things happened last year. We did the time of reflection last week. So this year, let me just promise you, let me go ahead and prophesy over you that there'll be some bad stuff that happens this year. But there'll also be some really great stuff that happens this year. And we're believing for really great stuff that happens, that's going to happen this year for you. Amen. We're believing God for great things, great and mighty things for God to do in personally and corporately as a church. So I want to talk about the fact that in the beginning of the year, there's always a great chance to reset. I believe God gives us opportunity to do resets like every day. The scripture says that his mercies are new every morning, right? So there are times that we go through in our lives that give us moments to say, oh, we're starting over, right? Like, maybe this week has been bad, or maybe yesterday was not as great as you thought it was going to be, and you're like, well, today is a new day. Amen? So what God does for us, I believe he gives us moments, and I believe the new year calendar is actually a gift from the Lord to help us do that, to reset. And so we're going to talk about Moses and the children of Israel and Joshua a little bit this morning. Because God gave Moses specific times to do a reset. Specific times to do a reset. So the first one is simply this. And I want to get to where we want to get to. So we're going to kind of breeze through this. But God gives moments of reset. So here's Moses. He's living out a way, right? He's kind of in a different, he's left Egypt for a while, and he's out in the and he's walking, and he comes up on this burning bush, right? He comes up on this burning bush, and the bush is not just burning, it's burning and not being consumed, right? So he goes over, and he takes a look, And I believe this is God's first reset for Moses. He goes over and he takes a closer look. And then God gives him this mission. He says, hey, Moses, things are going like this. Things are about to change. Things are about to look different for you. I have something different for you. And it's going to look different than it looks right now. And so he gives him this mission. He says, I want you to go to Egypt. And I want you to be my spokesman for the children of Israel who are suffering. Matter of fact, he hears the suffering. God says, I've heard the cries of my people. He said, I've heard the difficulties and the cry of the people have come up and I've heard them. And Moses, I've chosen you for this mission. Should you choose to accept it? I've chosen you for this mission. And then, like most of us, he comes up with all these excuses of why he can't do it. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not this. I'm not talented. Whatever. He just gives all of this, all of these excuses. And then he says this. He says, well, God, when I go there, when I go to where you tell me to go, who am I going to tell him sent me? And then God says this in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. It says, God replied to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. The I am has sent me to you. See, the first thing that we need to know when we do a reset at the beginning of this year is you need to know who your God is. He's not a little trinket. He's not a little something, little idol or something that you hold in your pocket. He's not something that you do on Sunday. He's not just somebody that we just go, oh, I believe in God. No. We need to realize that he is the I am. Yeah. When God chose to reveal himself to Moses, he said, you tell them the I am that I am sent me. So this year, I want you to face 2022 with all of the good and with all of the bad, with the fact that the I am has sent me. That I have the I am. It's not just something that I do. I don't just call myself a Christian, but I am related and I am sent by the I am. The I am. If you're going to be the person that God's, if you're going to really do this reset well, God tells Moses, you need to know who I am. And when you go to those people, they need to know who I am. The second thing, the second time he needs a reset is actually the children of Israel needs a reset. And the children of Israel at this point in the story, they've come out of Egypt. So Moses has done the deal, right? He goes down and through a crazy set of circumstances, he sees the children of Israel delivered in a mighty miracle way. Because not only did they want out of Egypt, but God says, I want you to go to this land that I've promised you. How many of you know there's a land that God's promised you? A place in God that God's called you to be. A purpose that God's called you to do. But you only know it first if you've got to know who the I am is. You got to know who the I am, who sent you. So Moses is now, the Israelites, most of us know the story. The Israelites go up, they go right out of Egypt, they go into Jericho, and they go, just kidding. Isn't that amazing? Once again, how I relate to the children of Israel is so unnerving at times. I have seen God do miraculous stuff. But then when it comes time to do something and to step out, I go, I don't know. Have you seen the giants? Joshua and Caleb saw the grapes. Right? The rest of everybody else saw the giants. Wow. That'll preach. So then, as the story goes, God takes all, he says, every one of those except Joshua and Caleb, that generation is going to die out for their lack of faith. Right? So here we come 40 years later. Joshua and Caleb, Moses is there, and they need another reset. Because God, I feel like if I was God, I'd be like, all right, this ain't happening again. Like, we're not coming up to Jericho and not going in, right? So God gives them, and through this time beforehand, God gives them all the commandments and all the requirements of being part of the children of God. He actually comes to Deuteronomy in chapter 6 and actually goes back and says, let's redo this. Let's remind ourselves what it looks like for us to be children of God. And so he goes through all the commands, right? He goes through all of this stuff, right? He says this in Deuteronomy chapter 6. He says, this is the command and the statutes and ordinances the Lord your God has commanded to teach you so that you may follow them in the land you are about to enter and possess. Do this. So that you may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life by keeping all of his statutes and commands I am giving you, your son, and I am giving to you, your son, your grandsons, so that you may have long life. Listen, Israel, be careful to follow them so that you may prosper and multiply greatly because the Lord your God of your ancestors has promised you a land flowing with milk and honey. Then he says this, listen, Israel, the Lord our God is one. The Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. The Jewish community knows this as the Shema. Every child, one of the first thing that they learn as a Jewish kid, is that you learn the Shema. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Jesus later on will quote this Shema. He said, what are the greatest commandments? And Jesus quotes this. And he said, the second commandment is like it. And then you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So God says, look, if you want to go into this land, if you really want, like he's saying in this point, like you need to reset your thinking and remember that your job is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. He says, then Jesus would add, love your neighbor as yourself. You see, Christian, our first priority is to love God. And through loving God, we obey Him. To love Him with everything. Not just partial. Not just when it's convenient. Not when I feel the tingle of the Holy Spirit. It's the everyday life. And many times I think that's where we miss it, is we want the feel good. We want to do it whenever we want to do it, right? But God says, listen, if you want this to work, he says, you have to put me first. Put me first. You'll love the Lord your God with everything in you. And that's going to spread how you treat other people, what you do when nobody else is watching, what you do in your workplace, how you treat your employer. If you're an employer, how you treat your employees, how you treat your spouse. Like, those questions should roll around in your head Am I loving God in the way I'm treating my spouse? Am I loving God in the way I'm treating my neighbor? See, it's going to get real because we need a reset. I believe the church needs a reset to remember that first, we are not just talking about, like, we are talking about the I am. The I am that I am. And that His command to us, like, look, I didn't write this. That's His command. When you create your own world, you can make all the rules. Right? We don't believe that, by the way. I'm just making that clear. There's other people who believe that. We don't believe that. But you, like you, until you create light and raise mountains out of the sea and put the stars in the sky, create the universe, that it all functions, that we're close enough to the sun, that we're warm but not too close that we're burned up. We have this amazing canopy that protects us. Until you do that, the one who did that calls the shots. And like it or not, we're subject to that. What am I talking about? I'm talking about lordship, right? And so many times, we get off because we just go, man, when it feels good, man, when it's... I saw this post and you know what? They just really deserve that. People need to hear this. That's fine, whatever. And then when we read that, it messes us up for days. When we hear people talking, we hear other people talking about different things. When your spouse says something that you don't like, when your kids act like your kids, the church, we need a reset. And remember that we serve the I Am. And that our command is to love Him with everything. And it's not just ethereal. There are specifics that we do when we say we love God with everything. And then the third one, we get to Joshua. We get to Joshua. And at this point, Joshua needs a reset. Because everything in Joshua's world has just changed. Because now they're about to go into the promised land. And Moses, their leader for all of these years, the one who brought them out of Egypt, is dead. And now they go, Joshua, you're the one. And for you football fans, this would be like Bill Belichick leaving and somebody else trying to take that position. Like Moses was like the best of the best. He was the guy. And now Joshua's got to follow him. Can you imagine that pressure, that weight? I mean, feel that for a minute. Like, Julie, you're following Moses. Good luck with that. Right? I mean, we all agree that Julie would probably do a really good job. But it's now your turn, Joshua. And God tells him you're going to lead him. And Joshua hears the words of a reset. And Joshua 1, verse 7, it says, above all, everybody say above all. Above. Be strong and very courageous. And observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from the right or to the left so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of the instruction or the book of the law must not depart from your mouth, but you have to meditate on it day and night that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed everywhere you go. It's almost like he's repeating the Shema again. He said, haven't I commanded you? And he adds this, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God looks at Joshua and says, Joshua, you got this. You got this. You are my guy. So because the I am has sent you, and because you're going to obey everything he says, be strong and full of courage. Don't back down. Don't shrink back. Be strong and full of courage. When we live in a world like we live now, it is time for the church to be strong and courageous. To be the people of God that speaks his voice into our world. His ideas and his thinking into our world. And through that, we love God and we love others. But God says, be strong and full of courage. Don't back down. Be the person that God's called you to be. Those are these three resets. Know who the Lord is. Put the Lord first. And God will be with you. And because of that, you can be strong and full of courage. So what about us? What about our reset? That sounds great for those guys, David. That's amazing. Man, I wish I was Joshua. I wish I would have been Moses, right? But that something went wrong. But you're like, this is my life. There was a meme about this, and it said, my love life be like. For some of you, it's like my finances be like. Some of you are like, my fitness be like. My family, something went wrong. My future, come on. And this is your attitude, that something's gone terribly wrong. My freedom. I'm still bound in those things. I had moments of freedom in 2021, but then something. My faith. And you, listen. And you may be in this room, and you are this close to just giving up on your faith. Because in your faith, man, I prayed for that, and it didn't happen. Can we just get real? This was supposed to be, it was supposed to be good, and then we went south. Or maybe it's this next one on the screen. That you just feel worn out. Feel tired. You feel like even your faith is like, I'm just slowing down. Many times it's because we got other stuff running in the background. We got all of these other programs running in the background. Wow. And we can't even do the thing that God's made us to do. That you're involved with too many things that don't matter. You know, it's funny that on Sundays, I don't know if you, all of my iPhone people, don't you get your, it's interesting that it's on Sundays that you get your screen time. How many of y'all have thought that was ironic? You're like, that's terrible. I need to go to church. And I will say that all of those things is probably caused by the next one. You've lost your connection with your server. You've lost your connection with the server. Because Probably if you had the connection with your server, maybe God would have put those things that happened badly into perspective. Or maybe those things that you thought were just terrible, you lost connection with the one who's going, I got you. I got you. It's going to be all right. I got you. This is not the end of the story. But you've lost connection with the server. So now everything is negative. Everything's bad. Everything's no good, right? When church is like a second thought. Or even worse, and this is where I want to get to, that your prayer life and your personal time with God is everything. And I don't have to take a poll in this room for people to tell me what's the greatest thing that they struggle with. I talk to way too many people. It's their prayer time and their personal time with God. It's a struggle for every believer, and I don't think it's by accident. I happen to believe and know, how about that, that the enemy hates it when you pray and spend time with God. Of all the things that he can do, if he can break that connection with God, with the server, then when my love life be like, my finances be like, right? But I got good news. That this year, we're not going to be like it was in 2021. We're not going to be the people that we try to live our lives without the connection with God. Isn't it crazy? This is crazy. That we try to live for God without being connected with God. Isn't that ironic? We try to live for God, we're not really connected with God. And we make this of some kind of weird struggle, don't we? Wait a minute. Am I in the right crowd? Like everybody else doing all right? You pray about an hour a day every day. You seek the Lord. You're on your face, weeping before the presence of God, right? I can preach this. Maybe I'll just preach to everybody online, right? But listen, guys, listen. What the world needs now is love, suit your love, right? I knew I was going to say it. But who is that love, sweet love? What this world needs now is Jesus more than ever. What this world needs now is not just another pithy little saying. What the world needs now is not just another good idea. What the world needs now is people of God demonstrating the love and power and majesty and goodness and holiness of God. Have we forgotten that God, this life outside of the presence and power of God, that we, when we choose to do our life our own way, have we forgotten how terrible that is?
Yeah, that's right.
You don't have to look far. I say it all the time. The way our world is going should be a testament that our world is wrong. That when you decide to choose what's right and wrong on your own thoughts, it's destruction. When we try to figure out, when we say, I'm going to have a great marriage, but I'm not going to do it the way God wanted it, because that's really tough and hard and difficult. I'm not going to raise my kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord, because they're just teenagers. They don't understand. They'll get it later. And so we have masses exiting the church. Like, I don't know about you, but something's got to change.
Yeah.
We need a reset. Yeah. I need a reset. The church in America needs a reset. The church at Hope needs a reset. Yeah. And we're going to get one. And so I'm going to bring up Gabriel. Come here, Gabriel. Where's my mic? Gabriel's a young man.
He is a young man that lives with us.
And so I want you, this book is what we're going to do as a church for the next 20 days. For the next 20 days, so I did this back in November. I got this book. Actually, I've had, you ever get a book? I know you don't do this. You go, man, I'm going to read that book one day. This has been one of those books. How many of you have gotten that book and then you read it and you went, why didn't I read this book before? It's been sitting there collecting dust. It's been on my bookcase with a whole bunch of other books. Just sitting there looking good. And I said, man, this is great. And so I opened up this thing and I actually went through this book and I went through it's 20 days, and it talks about, it is one of the, and I read it, I went, this is so good. This is perfect to help you have a consistent prayer time and the word time, right? So there's so many obstacles. So Gabriel, I gave this book to Gabriel a couple of days ago. And so, Gabriel, is that working? Is it on? Ooh. Oh, it's on. Okay. So, Gabriel, how long have you had this book?
About like...
What day are you on?
I'm on the third day right now.
The third day. Okay, so right at the beginning. And so, I don't want to hear you naysayers like, well, he's only on the third day. He's going to last until... Like, stop it. Just stop it. I know what you're thinking. Just stop it. What, get your teenager to do 3 days. Or the average. I mean, like, we have great teenagers. They're going to do it. We're also going to do this with our youth, too. So tell me, is it easy?
I mean, now it is.
Yeah. I love honesty.
Yeah.
So how has this book helped you in just the first 3 days?
It's kind of just, like, built my desire for God even more because... I remember, like, there's just times where I just, like, I didn't have that desire for God at all. And it just didn't, like, strike up in me. Mm-hmm. And this has just really helped just to just kind of just build that desire and just the want to go after God.
Yeah, that's good. That's so good. So tell me about your past struggles in your prayer life. Like, what does that look like? Like, struggling to say, because we all know, like, you're a Christian. You're supposed to have a prayer life. You're supposed to do this. Right? So talk about, like, when you hear those things, what have been the struggles that you've had to struggle through?
I guess, like, so, like, there's been just struggles with, like, just, like, I didn't know what to do.
Excellent.
And then there's also been struggles where, like, I knew what to do, but I just did not want to do it.
Yeah. I love it. And so, how is this book helped in other ways? Like, it's given you a desire, right?
Yeah.
It's given you what to do.
Yeah.
Right? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
It's definitely helped with my worshiping.
Yeah.
Because, like, with worship, you really just have to, like, when you sing it out from your heart, it really does a change in you.
Right. Right.
Like even if you're not really going through something, it always just puts a change in you that just to do better each time.
That's right. So why would you give everybody the biggest selling job on this book that you can? I mean, truthfully, right?
Yeah.
Right. So why would you say to read that book, to do that book?
Because it definitely does help, and it's good to kind of just walk through stuff to do to get through a reset, because sometimes nobody really knows what to do.
Yeah.
So it's just, you really just need that kind of just that kind of jump start, mm-hmm. just to be able to keep walking in your faith with God.
Yeah, and, yeah, you know. Yeah. You want to say anything else?
I just want to say that, like, when you read this book and when you finish it, just don't, like, put it away like it's just, like, just another book you read. Just, like, kind of just continue to keep on pressing in with God and just continue to just keep on having that desire for God, because you don't want to let it go, because it's really the only thing that's going to get you through your life.
Yeah, that's right. That's good. Give Gabriel a hand. Good job, Gabriel. Good job, Gabriel. So, are you ready? Are you ready? It's really simple. Day one is desire. And I'll just read the first part. It says, a meaningful and consistent prayer life, that's what you want. Right? That's why you're here. You know prayer has the potential to be a delight, reciprocal, wholehearted, invigorating, and powerful. And you want it. It all starts with a burning desire for Jesus. Picture it for a moment. You're holed up in your quiet nook. Your door is closed and the chair is comfortable. And you've got a mug of coffee. I'd have added coffee. Or tea. Or whatever. And your Bible is open. It's your favorite time of the day. And now you start doing your favorite thing. Start talking to your best friend, Jesus. It's simple talk, really, everyday language. You express your adoration, your thanks, and your devotion. No topic is off limits, and there is no end to the things you admire about him. His amazing salvation, his majestic glory, winsome nature, his endless mercy. He is your dwelling place forever. And so as you go on your first day, what you'll do is it'll actually give you a scripture to read, and then it'll have this little pause mark in your, well, it's a power mark, but it's, and you just stop and just kind of, in your own words, kind of do, walk through this, right? And then, like it says, take a few minutes to express the things to God, express, like, the things that you love about God to him, right? And then you'll just, it's like three pages. And the second is decide, right? Make a commitment. And then it goes on and on to amazing listen. It's going to teach you how to listen to the Holy Spirit. It's going to walk you through that. I have been praying for a long time. And so, and even when I went through this, it was so moving. It was so good. It was so refreshing to get a fresh perspective on prayer. Because listen, if all our prayer is this thing where we just go, I'm going to pray. And then you get to your prayer closet and you're like, now what do I say again? What do I do again? Like, what does this scripture mean? I'm telling you. You know how you get better at anything? You just do it. Jessica didn't get amazing at her guitar and amazing singing just because. Come on up, Jessica, to the guitar for a second. Let's all stand together. So we're going to go on this journey together. Y'all ready? How many of you are like, oh man, I'm so tempted. You're just like, right now you're like, I don't know. I don't know if this, I'm so, like, let me just say, I can feel it in the room, right? Some of you are like, I've tried things before, and they haven't worked. I would challenge you to this. Remember that the I am that I am is with you. Yes. And that you are making a choice to love the Lord your God with all your heart. You're making a declaration that through courage, I'm going to walk this through. Somebody gave me a definition of discipline a long time ago. And really, it's going to take discipline. At the end of the day, I wish I could sugarcoat it, but it's going to take discipline. You know what discipline is? Simple definition of discipline. It's remembering what you want. You know what causes somebody, we're about to have the Olympics in about a month. You know what causes somebody to become a great athlete and they discipline themselves? Because they remember what they want. A lot of them, they put up pictures. They put up things in front of them to remind them. They have people that they look to and they admire those people and they go, man. So when you're on your 10th set of those weights and you just want to quit, I remember what I want. I remember what I want. Close your eyes, just you and Him. God, it's all about You. All I want is You. So, Father, I pray. Just right there where you ask Him. Ask Him, God, would You just fill me with desire? Fill me, God, with a new desire. And God, I thank You. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longeth after You. So God, I pray that You would help us.